A song about take every virtue, every grace. And the Apostle Peter said, add these things. You have faith, you have virtue, you have knowledge, self-control, steadfastness, and brotherly love, and, well, brotherly affection, and love. So these eight things impress us with the sparkling beauty that Peter says should be sparkling more and more in our lives. He also included godliness in that list. That does make eight there. Pardon me for a moment. Thank you, Don. Now, I'm sure you've been thinking about those eight qualities. Now, who was Peter for God to pick to pin those words? I saw the ending of a movie the other night called Demetrius and the Gladiators. And it was one of those movies back from the 50s where there was a high tribute to people, to Christians, and it showed their conflict being persecuted by the Roman government. And Peter, I noticed as I saw the ending of the movie, played by a fine British actor, certainly was giving courage and increased faith to people who saw that in him. And I began to wonder, after I was thinking about the scripture that Travis had chosen in his gospel invitation that I've just referred to, I wonder about Peter's life and what in it might be reflected in what he has written for us, the books of 1 and 2 Peter. It had been a while since I had really looked at Peter's life, and I was impressed and thought I would share with you my feelings and how it helped me to look at Peter's life. Now, right after the scripture, verses 3 through 11 in 1 Peter, verses 12 through 15 are from Peter speaking to us today. Now, he's been speaking for a couple of thousand years because the scripture does live. So I think we can look to him and realize the respect we have for someone Jesus chose as one of his apostles and all the work he did. Peter said, right after he mentioned these eight qualities, therefore, I intend always to remind you of these qualities, though you know them and are established in the truth that you have. I think it right, as well as I am in this body, to stir you up by way of reminder, since I know that the putting off of my body will be soon, as our Lord Jesus made clear to me. And I will make every effort so that after my departure, you may be able at any time to recall these things. Now, when I think of Peter, I think about his life and his teaching. His teaching did occur in the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and also Acts, Luke recording things that Peter said there, his example and sermons he gave, preaching on Pentecost, preaching to Cornelius and his family. And I have renewed respect, I think, for whatever Peter would say to us because he lived what he wrote and what he preached. The life of Peter consists of some very familiar themes. He was chosen as an apostle. He preached for Jesus. He had courage. He had humility. At times, he had tragic weaknesses that disturbed him greatly. But when you think about him, I hope that you relate to him. I know I do. When I think about weaknesses and how that Christ had taught him not just to forgive seven times, but seven times 70. You remember that? Lord, how often should I forgive my brother? When I think of Peter, I think too of a song we sang this morning. When I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus and wonder how he could love me. Can you hear Peter saying that? I think so. He's got the humility and he's got some powerful examples and things for us to consider. Now, however, you do recall from the story of his life, he endured, he had suffering and a lot of pain from that because of his preaching. Now, I'd like us to look back at the start of his life as we know it. He was an adult. And look at the context. And this is Matthew chapter 4, verses 12 through 20. There's a quotation in there from Isaiah chapter 9, verses 1 and 2. Who was this that picked Peter? Why did he pick Peter? What was the mission of Jesus? Leaving Nazareth, he went and lived in Capernaum by the sea, in the territory of Zebulun and Naphtali, so that what was spoken by the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled. Quote, "The land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, the way of the sea, beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people dwelling in darkness have seen a great light, and those dwelling in the region and shadow of death, on them a light has dawned." Unquote. From that time, Jesus began to preach, saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." While walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Immediately they left their nets and followed him. Who went into captivity, Assyrian captivity, the first of people of Israel? It was those living up north in Galilee. They went into an utter blackness of pain and depression from being exiled from their land as punishment from God. And yet, this very place is blessed by Jesus beginning his ministry there. And he picks Peter to help him in announcing the kingdom of God and working in it. Luke chapter 5, verses 3 through 10. Luke chapter 5, 3 through 10 is another scripture regarding the call of Peter and its significance. Speaking of Jesus, getting into one of the boats, which was Simon's, Peter's, he asked him to put out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people from the boat. And when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch." And Simon answered, "Master, we toiled all night and took nothing, but at your word, I will let down the nets." And when they had done this, they enclosed a large number of fish, and their nets were breaking. They signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' feet, at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish that they had taken. And so also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon, and Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching men." And when they had brought their boats to land, they left everything and followed him. And so Peter has the humility to realize he's in the presence of the sinless, the Son of God, who he is growing to trust and respect more and more as the Messiah. And yet, even though he feels like he shouldn't be a part of this great work of Jesus, Jesus touches him and reassures him and gives him that reassurance that I do want you, and you will be making a difference. You will be reaching people with the message of the kingdom. Now, he had courage on an occasion that we are well familiar with. And this is when Jesus, this is Matthew chapter 16, 13 through 19, was talking to the disciples. Now, when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" And they said, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." He said to him, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter replied, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered him, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." At times, Peter could just blurt out things rather impulsively. Well, he had given this some thought. This shows his heart, his commitment to working in the kingdom of God. There's another thing that occurred, shared with James and John, and it is in the next chapter, chapter 17 of Matthew, and that is verses 1 through 9. This is an amazing story. This is what Peter was an eyewitness of. And after 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John, his brother, and led them up a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became white as light. And behold, there appeared to them Moses and Elijah talking with him. And Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, it is good that we are here. If you wish, I will make 3 tents here, one for you and one for Moses and one for Elijah." He was still speaking when a bright cloud overshadowed them, and a voice from the cloud said, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." When the disciples heard this, they fell on their faces and were terrified. But Jesus came and touched them, saying, "Rise and have no fear." And when they lifted up their eyes, they saw no one but Jesus only. And as they were coming down the mountain, Jesus commanded them, "Tell no one the vision until the Son of Man is raised from the dead." That would be an impressive thing to witness. That would make a difference in one's life, and it certainly did in Peter's. Another thing that made a lot of difference in Peter's life is recorded in the last part of the Gospel of John, verses 18 through 20. You remember that Mary Magdalene had the privilege of announcing the resurrection. Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord," and that he had said these things to her. On the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors being locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Well, that's quite an understatement, isn't it? They were thrilled, amazed, changed forever, being eyewitnesses, as Peter was, that Jesus was risen from the dead, just as he was the Son of God. Now, let's look just at some highlights of Peter, who powerfully preached Jesus. He was transformed. This is a big thing in his life. Actually, let's wait on that. I'm highly trained with the keystrokes by Steve. There was a time when Peter denied Jesus before he began preaching in the book of Acts. Luke chapter 22, verses 31 through 34. And Jesus is talking to him. Simon, 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 behold, Satan demanded to have you that he might sift you like wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail. And when you have turned again, strengthen your brothers. Peter said to him, Lord, I am ready to go with you both to prison and to death. Jesus said, I tell you, Peter, the rooster will not crow this day until you deny three times that you know me. Even though Peter couldn't imagine that did come true. But you see Jesus giving him some hope that after that big weakness of Peter in denying Jesus three times, near the time when Jesus was to be sacrificed on the cross, that actually Peter would recover from that. So it's a wonderful spirit that Jesus showed to him. Well, now, Peter gets up with the apostles on Pentecost. No longer are they shaking with fear and doubts and confusion. The apostles have seen the Lord, and the Holy Spirit comes, the sound of a rushing wind, tongues of fire over the apostles' heads, symbolizing they are speaking, and what is being heard in many languages by the Jewish people there who have come from far off, some of them anyway, is that, as Peter says, Jesus was crucified, he was raised, he was the Messiah, you've crucified him. And this is the explanation for the miracle, the tongues of fire, and the languages that you're able to understand. So here, Peter has the greatest courage that we could ever imagine. And he's full of courage, the Holy Spirit is empowering him, and what an impact he had that day, with 3,000 people becoming Christians. Now, in the temple area, Peter and John, and this is the next chapter, chapter 3, Peter has been the instrument of God to heal a man lame from birth. And the authorities don't like this, the leaders of the Jewish council. And Peter and John continue to preach. They are unstoppable. Now, they were threatened, but they were unstoppable. And in Peter's preaching, let's just look at verses 10 through 13, and 13 was the scripture reading Wilson shared. Let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man is standing before you well. This Jesus is the stone that was rejected by you, the builders, which has become the cornerstone. And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. And when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were uneducated common men, They were astonished. And they recognized that they had been with Jesus. One time they had been with Jesus, let's flash back a little bit, was the end of John chapter 21, when Jesus I want us to look at something that was said when the resurrection of Jesus was being announced. I love this every time I read it. The women at the tomb. This is Mark chapter 16, verses 4 through 7. Looking up, they saw that the stone had been rolled back. It was very large. And entering the tomb, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, dressed in a white robe, and they were alarmed. And he said to them, "Do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him? But go tell his disciples and Peter that he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him just as he told you." And so once again, Jesus is making sure that Peter knows there's a role for him as an apostle in spite of his denial of Jesus. And as you know, the story in the last part of John 21, up there in Galilee, Jesus gave Peter three chances to tell him he loved him and to work, to feed his lambs and so forth. So the three denials then became three confessions to help Peter and encourage him. Now, back to Acts. If I forget a scripture, I might go back to it. But now we're back into Acts. Now, Peter and John are before the council. And Peter has said the lame man was healed by Jesus. But you see then that Peter and John, they're not stopped by the threats of prison or whatever else that they were threatened with. And they even went on their way rejoicing after they were persecuted. That's in chapter 5 of Acts. Then they left the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer dishonor for the name. And every day in the temple and from house to house, they did not cease teaching and preaching Jesus as the Christ. So Peter and the other apostles, they were emboldened, and they felt it was a privilege to be following the one who had given his life for them in Jesus' sacrifice for all of us. So that is a big part of who Peter was. He understood suffering, even persecution. In Acts chapter 10, he gave the great announcement to Cornelius and his family that God does not require anyone to be of a certain nationality, background. Gentiles as well as Jews can be accepted. That starts in verse 34. So Peter opens his mouth and said, "Truly I understand that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, anyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him." So isn't that a great occasion, as Peter had announced the gospel to Jewish people, now to Gentiles, and that includes most, if not all, of us. And continuing, now verse 39, "We are witnesses," Peter speaking, "of all he did in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They put him to death by hanging him on a tree, but God raised him on the third day and made him to appear, not to all the people, but to us who had been chosen by God as witnesses, who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one appointed by God to be judge of the living and the dead. To him all the prophets bear witness that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. So once again, Peter is encouraged by God, who encourages him to go and preach the gospel to Cornelius. We've talked about his, well, I don't think I mentioned he was actually put in prison, and he was delivered and out of there. Now, at times, Peter was wrong, even as much as day is different from the night. You remember back in chapter 16, I'll just paraphrase here, when he had confessed Christ, but then Jesus is teaching them he will suffer and be killed, go to Jerusalem on the third day, rise. At that time, Peter just blurts out, "No, Lord, this will never happen to you, not you." And Jesus is very stern with him, says, "Yes, it must. You are opposing me. I must fulfill my mission." John 13, you remember when Jesus began to wash the feet of the disciples? This astonished, astounded, even revulsed Peter. "You will never wash my feet." And Peter is sternly told by Jesus, "Well, if that's the case, you're not really in service in the kingdom." That gets Peter's attention. So Peter learned a big lesson there for more humility and to about even letting Jesus wash his feet. But he did recover from those wrongs. We've already talked about his denials. Well, we looked at Peter's life, some highlights. Now let's look at 1 and 2 Peter, where we have some of the main themes coming out, and we see that these are related to experiences that Peter actually had. When we consider that Peter teaches us to be steadfast and have courage, even when we're persecuted, and he tells us to share our hope, and he is an apostle once again in what he writes, and even to, yes, have courage in suffering. So, I'm over at 1 Peter here. We've already looked at verses 3 that's 2 Peter. There is a lot of encouragement in verses 3 through 9. But I will paraphrase that. I actually quoted this in our gospel invitation on Wednesday evening. And Peter starts out after his greeting, encouraging the Christians there and us today. "Look at the great mercy God has given us. We're born again to a living hope by Jesus raised from the dead. Even though you suffer, it is because you have been chosen to follow Christ, and it will have the eventual effect of the salvation of your souls in the kingdom of glory," is the idea there. In chapter 2, verses 9 through 10, "But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy." And so we are to be, as Jesus had taught, a city set on a hill, and the light for the world to see is a reflection of God's great love, and he wants everyone to be in his family. Also in chapter 2, verses 20 through 23 is on the subject of suffering. If when you do good and suffer for it, you endure, this is a gracious thing in the sight of God. For to this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example, so that you might follow in his steps. He committed no sin, neither was deceit found in his mouth. When he was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but continued entrusting himself to him who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. For you were, by his wounds you have been healed. For you were straying like sheep, but now have returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. And that's certainly what Peter felt was a privilege, to suffer, to follow Jesus, whatever it takes. And now on the subject of service, also in 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 8 through 11, above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins. Show hospitality to one another without grumbling. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's very grace. Whoever speaks as one who speaks oracles of God, whoever serves as one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. When Peter mentions whoever speaks as one who speaks oracles of God, well, he certainly did that orally, but also in writing down 1 and 2 Peter. And we could conclude looking at his teaching by considering a few themes there that are in 2 Peter. We've already looked at verses 3 through 11, and that was faith all the way to love, all of these virtues and qualities to have grow in our lives. Chapter 1, 16 through 21, but I'll just paraphrase that. In this, he talks about seeing Jesus transfigured on the mountain. So here, as Jesus said, don't tell anyone till after I'm raised from the dead. Peter not only talked about it, I'm sure, at times. Here he wrote about it, and as an eyewitness, he saw the glorified Christ, what he would look like at his second coming. So that was a preview, and what a privilege that was, and with James and John also. But also mentioned in this passage is God's word predicting the future and teaching us. And Peter says, eyewitness testimony, pay attention to that about who Jesus was. Pay attention to the scriptures, even as Peter is writing here. And that will shine in our lives also. And lastly, from chapter 3, because a big part of 2 Peter is a rebuke of false teachers who deny the second coming of Jesus. Scoffers will come in the last days, saying, where is the promise of his coming? Well, verses 11 through 13, there's a lot of hope in these for us, as Peter says to us today. Since all these things are thus to be dissolved, what sort of people ought you to be in lives of holiness and godliness, waiting for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be set on fire and dissolved, and the heavenly bodies will melt as they burn? But according to his promise, we are waiting for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. And that's where the conclusion of Peter's scriptures for us end with that hope. And so, applying these thoughts to our lives, I find his life very encouraging, as I'm sure you do. His teaching gives us a lot to live up to and have grow in our life, such as the eight Christian virtues, as they are called. So as Christians, I do hope that we feel an impact of what Peter has written and tells us in 1 and 2 Peter, having reviewed things about his life. Now, also, in case someone wants to respond and become a Christian, you can do exactly the response that the people did when Peter talked, when he spoke on Pentecost, for example, or to Cornelius in Acts 10. So it's sure that Jesus came, was sacrificed for our sins, raised from the dead, as Peter knows, and as he did testify, and as tradition says, even gave his life. And so, as we sing the closing song, if anyone needs encouragement or wants to become a Christian, we'll be glad to have you come forward. Please stand for the closing song. The Great Physician.